we are going to go into the weekend catching up with Massachusetts Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, who represents the 7th District. Congresswoman Pressley, thanks for taking the time. Welcome back to the show.
Always good to be with you.
So we're making this list today, Congresswoman, of the things that we could talk to you about, and it just kind of hit me what a week it has been. We have an armed standoff in Wakefield over the weekend, assassination of the Haitian president, where we have a huge Haitian community here in the area. We're in the middle of a tropical storm, although for us here at the station, I think it's kind of passed overhead. What a week. How have you been thinking about it? And how do you manage living as a congressperson in extraordinary times all the time?
Well, just yeah, no, honestly, I mean, it has been this way since I was first elected. I think, unfortunately, in many ways, I've grown accustomed to the deluge of what is incoming. And if anything, despite the unprecedented challenges, I feel an even greater responsibility to be an effective steward at this moment. We're at an inflection point in so many ways, with the climate crisis, with the housing crisis, with the healthcare crisis, with the crisis when it comes to childcare. There are any number of things, but it all matters and it's all important. And so I just have to remain squarely focused on meeting the moment and moreover meeting the urgent and growing needs of the people that I represent in the Massachusetts 7th.
So let's talk about meeting that moment. You talked about some macro inflection points there, for example, housing, childcare. There is legislation back and forth on the table right now. Let's talk a little bit about infrastructure. We've been covering this debate within the Democratic Party over whether legislators should pass a standalone bipartisan infrastructure bill focused mainly on surface transportation, or to hold out and only pass that bill if there's movement on some larger spending that would address other Democratic priorities, like things you listed: climate change, support for children and families. First, updates. Are we seeing any progress on either of those in Congress? Do we have a bill coming that's going to get passed?
Well, we do expect Tiziana to see movement on these packages at some point this month. But what I continue to fight for are those bold investments in both physical and human infrastructure for our country. And that's what I've been banging the drum from, again, being responsive to the urgent needs of the people. Myself and many of my progressive colleagues have been championing that. And in fact, I serve on the House Financial Services Committee. One of the reasons why I ran for Congress was to fight for an expanded definition of infrastructure to go far beyond highways, roads, and bridges. How could housing not be included in the definition of infrastructure? So housing is infrastructure. A climate justice is infrastructure. We should not even have to make that argument. The world is making it for us at every moment and every turn when you see what is happening. And the care economy is infrastructure. This is an issue, child care, that I worked on during my tenure on the Boston City Council, and I've continued to work on now at the federal level. Senior and child care, the care economy, this is infrastructure, and we need to invest in it and act like that. Child care is as much about the GDP as it is about our families. And so these investments are really critical to our having a robust recovery. And I'm grateful that Speaker Pelosi and President Biden both committed to advancing a bold reconciliation package that is going to meet the scale and scope of these crises.
So I'm going to jump in there, and I'm just going to ask you sort of in a sentence then, should we anticipate that by the end of 2021, infrastructure will, in law, right, mean something bigger and different than it has been in the United States?
It certainly needs to. And I'm going to keep, I stay at the table pushing and organizing for bigger and bolder investments that go as far and as deep as the hurt systemic in its nature is. especially given the unprecedented challenges of the last year. If we are truly going to have a just, equitable, robust recovery and rebuild a just nation that takes care of its people, we need universal child care. We need paid family leave. We need robust funding for something I led the fight for, and that's home and community-based services for the elderly and for folks with disabilities. Tiziana, I vice chair the Task Force on Aging and Families, and we had a briefing last week about the sandwich generation, of which I'm a member. Those are folks caring for an aging parent and also for a young child. And it was devastating, but not surprising to learn that 80% of those caregivers have had passive suicidal thoughts. The load is so heavy. So care is infrastructure, climate justice is infrastructure, housing is infrastructure, and we need to legislate and invest in it like it is.
So I'm going to move us to another heavy subject now with our remaining time, which is the death penalty. I know it's an issue you feel strongly about. I want to talk specifically about where you are with President Biden on the issue. So you're against the death penalty. You filed a bill in 2019 to abolish it. You seemed pretty encouraged by a recent statement from the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, that the DOJ will put a temporary stay on federal executions while the department reviews processes and procedures. You also seemed very frustrated and displeased by the DOJ's decision that it will continue to defend a death sentence for the Boston Marathon bomber at the Supreme Court, which was a process that was pursued by Barr in the previous administration. Where do you stand right now with the death penalty and Joe Biden's position on it? Are you pleased with him, displeased with him? Where are we?
Well, first, I just want to acknowledge that the action taken by the DOJ is welcome. It's long overdue. And they were heeding calls that myself and other advocates have been leading on for a long time. So they were responsive to those calls. And so it's a testament to the work of impacted families and generations of activists. I was at the White House recently. I spoke directly with the president. While I was there, he gave me his word that no person in America would be executed by the federal government under his watch.
And do you believe that's the case, that over the next 4 years, we will not have a person executed by the federal government?
I certainly will continue to be vigilant in my efforts to ensure that the word that President Biden gave me, that is honored. The death penalty has no place in our society. State-sanctioned murder is not justice. And we're coming at this in three different ways. So the decisive action in the last Congress, we led this bill, myself and Senator Dick Durbin, to end the federal death penalty. I've been calling also on President Biden to use executive action to halt federal executions. And within that executive action, to commute the sentences of those on death row, to ensure fair resentencing processes, and to direct the DOJ prosecutors to no longer seek the death penalty, and, Tiziana, to dismantle the death row facility at Terre Haute. Passing our independent legislation, Senator Dick Durbin is my partner in that, who also chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee, so I think our chances look good, Tiziana, and we have over 90 co-sponsors of our bill. Close to 300 grassroots organizations have endorsed this. So momentum for this continues to grow. So at this point, this is about honoring the will of the people, but also protecting the people and what true justice really looks like. And that means abolishing the federal death penalty. We need to pass that independent bill to ensure that no future president can reinstate this, Tiziana, because under the Trump administration, when they resurrected that, they ostensibly went on a killing spree, executing more people in the final days of his administration than had been executed for the last six decades.
So that is all the time we have for now, Congresswoman. I do hope you will come back again soon. There's so much more for us to talk about. That's Massachusetts Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, who represents the 7th District. Will you come back and join us again soon, please?
Absolutely.
Thanks, and have a great weekend.
You too.